Mr. Dobson, reel 7. Yes, in Wavell.
Not really, there was nothing about it, the guardian, you know? Yeah, internal security.
What was that about then, the internal security? No, I'll take it that was your primary role when you were out there.
That's how we used to get through to, and that most times when we were down the boulevard.
Where's that?
Just down in Berlin. That was the boulevard.
And that was
internal security.
Right, and that was a wood, was it?
Yeah. What we call the boulevard.
And whereabouts in Berlin was that, can you remember?
Well, that was out the woods, I think it was towards the Russian sector, I think it was. We used to have to go down there.
And what was that for? What did you have to do?
Like a standard in case, you know, they used to see the Russians just coming in and things like that, you know. That was the Cold War. So we used to just get stood too. Could be midnight, anytime, you know. Let it be on guard, you know.
So would you be on call a certain length of time for this stand too?
Yeah, all the time was on standby for that, you know.
Was that a permanent 24 hours a day?
Yeah, that was it. That was what we were there for, really, you know.
Were you given time when you weren't on stand two to relax?
Yes, plenty of time for that, by the way. Yes. I mean, I have been doing the ground when I've had time off. It's the only time I've had a bit of skin.
So what was this Grunwald? Can you describe it?
Well, it's a massive wood. It had fat that runs right here through Germany. It went with the German map. It runs right through.
So did you have a specific area designated to to the battalion?
Yeah, it was the French.
And they had a specific area?
American. You know, you would do the same as us. You know, that was the Cold War in the Russians.
So the British had a particular area in this wood, or this wooded area, which they had to...
And maybe certainly used to go back to the same, that particular area.
And what happened on these stand twos?
Well, we just used to go down there and never round or anything, you know. No rounds. Just keep writing. Sitting there, waiting, till the stand down, back on the line and back there. There was never anything serious. It was just practice, you know.
So how often were these stand twos?
I would say that the time I was out there, I would get about a half a dozen times I was doing it. Yeah.
And how long did they last?
Well, it could last a few hours, you know. Maybe, really it was during the winter when I was in Berlin. And it was freezing. You know, just the temps on the second.
Did you not have any winter clothing?
No.
And no ammunition?
No ammunition. You used to see a lot there. Everybody was sitting there. Anybody coming out, reading out it was from rain or not. They had no ammunition.
These stand twos, were they in response to something that the Russians had done, or were they just the training?
Yeah, training, that was all it was. How so fast you could get to it. Right, we used to stay certain in bikes.
So there was nothing actually happening?
No, nothing happened as far as I'm aware. Never happened to us anyway. The battalion used to go, didn't it?
The whole battalion?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of men, isn't it?
Yeah. Because how fast you could get there, I think.
How fast you could mobilise?
Yeah, I could get there really well.
Were you always on a state of readiness then? Were you always prepared for these stand twos?
Yeah, you had to be. Well, I mean, when you were on your leisure time, you had a better leg, you could go out. I think it was always there. That you know.
So did you take it in turns? You mentioned the Black Watch were there as well.
They were there.
Did you take it in turns to be on standby?
I think they did. I think that's what they happened. It would be the drones and the Black Watch.
So how far was this area from the barracks?
That was in there. I would say about a mile or something like that.
How did you get down there? How did you mobilise? What?
Wagons. You know, the wagons would come and pick all the country up. In a year. Down to the river and then underwood and down into the trees.
And what did you do when you were down there?
Just waiting, really. you know, you went and you didn't know really what was happening. I mean, nothing ever happened. You just went. You just like train exercise. How do you guard? No bullets. So that was it, you know.
Any other duties that you can recall?
No, not really. Part of guard duties, I think.
Yes, you mentioned the guard duties. You mentioned the motor transport section.
Yes.
Did you used to mount a guard there? Did you?
That was the 24-hour guard on the gate. One foot would be on the gate and one going around the perimeter just to check. That was over the M2 then, towards Spandau Prison.
Yeah, you mentioned Spandau Prison before, and I just wanted to mention it because it's quite interesting, the prison being there. Was it close to the camp?
Yeah, it was just outside where the barracks. I think it was like the Black Watch was over there. The barracks in the Black Watch in Spandau Prison.
Were the Black Watch in a separate part of the camp?
Oh, yeah.
Where was the motor transport?
They were on the other side of the square, Carillon Square. That was where they were over there, like where the motor transport. But you had to do the guard that was around on the mountain. I hear the guard. You know what I'm doing there. I wasn't a beer or something.
What about the guard on the motor transport section? Was that a regular occurrence as well?
Yeah, they used to do that, yeah.
Did you ever do any guard duties at Spandau itself?
No, I never did one.
Because the British did share some of their guard, didn't they?
Yeah, the French did a month, I think it was, the British, the Americans, you know, and the Russians. And then they used to change again, you know. But I never did a one month. Some companies did one, I think.
I was just going to ask, did any of the Durhams do any duty?
Yeah, they did them, but I never did them. I don't think one company did one where I was there. But I just had missed it before I got there, you know. It was a big place, like, you know, Spandau.
The prison itself?
Yeah. And we used to walk by it to go back to Berlin. And when you thought it was, I think it was Hess. I think it was under Turing, I think that was something. That was all that was in the prison. And then at the face of the room, Hess.
Just mentioning, talking about Spandau, I wanted to ask. Did you ever come across any looting in Berlin or any public order situation?
No, we never got nothing like that. We were supposed to be in one of the worst parts, Spandau, you know, that was Hitler's main part. Like I told you, you had to be careful.
Yes, you mentioned you had to walk back in twos, didn't you?
Twos or groups, never on your own. I can't remember anybody getting tired or anything,
Did you ever come across any situation like that with the local German people?
No, I think they accepted you. I don't know where the light went, but I don't suppose they did, you know. But, I never had no trouble. I used to get on pretty decent with them, you know, the porters out in the barracks, you know.
Did you have any dealings with the German authorities, the police?
No, I never had any of that. The only time I used to get that was when maybe something happened at the cafe or something, or whatever. I never had anything there. I never got anything.
I wanted to just to mention. You would be training at this point before you went into the headquarters company, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to the company headquarters.
Just before then, I just wanted to run through a typical day whilst you were in Berlin, your typical training day.
Well, it could start off when going on parade, arms inspection.
Was there a parade every morning?
Yeah, we used to parade every morning.
Would that be sort of before breakfast?
No, you set me breakfast, then go on parade, and then some girls would have little bits of jobs to do now in the litter or anywhere in the tally. And I used to go into company headquarters. You know, I was company runner, so I was in business. It might be a drill session, mind. So that would do that.
Was this a light infantry pace?
Yeah.
Now, was this a quicker pace than what you had done in your initial training, your initial 6 weeks?
Yes.
Did they pick the pace up straight away?
Yeah, they did.
What did you think of that?
Yeah, you should, you know, hey, you were traveling. We'll get maybe, I don't know, about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours in the square gym. Or arms inspection and everything like that.
How fast was the pace for the light infantry? Can you remember?
The others was 140, I think it was. It was only the Germans kept it up, you know.
Well, was that difficult?
You got used with it, you know. Even the door was faster than that. The key was that was the chimney was up here. It was pretty fast as well, you know. You know, smart doing it. You shan't get used in the marching band. If you didn't, you do it, you did it again, and besides me, you didn't. He put you through it.
Was he the drill sergeant?
He was our CSM sergeant.
Gibbons, what was he like?
He was a stick there, you know, a discipline, he liked the smile. You know, he didn't like the slouch in the boat. But I got on well with him because I was in company headquarters, and I did get on well. I think he was from the CSM, but like I say, I think I told you his dad was a well up in the army or something, and that's where his ambition was. But he didn't quite make it.
You mentioned it yourself that you obviously had to be fit. What was the fitness training like at Wavell?
That was good. These were all the PT instructors, you know. That would be maybe another part of the deal. Maybe cut the holes with them, you know, up the ropes, go over the walls, press ups, things like that, you know, keep you fit.
What about marching, route marches?
We didn't do many there. If I did two of them in Berlin, I would do. You know, going out into Berlin. We didn't do many of them.
Was there a particular reason for that?
I don't know. Maybe it was for the German thing, I don't remember. I can't remember many of them and things like that. Man. But it was, I mean, it was firing practice. But on the ranges, you know, that would be all dealing.
So that would be a full day on the ranges? How often would that be?
Well, it could be, I don't know, every week, I think.
At least once a week?
Yeah.
And what kind of weapons training did you do at Wavell?
Well, I was the rifleman, 303. And when I did go on the range, I had to fight a brain. I had to qualify for it as well. I don't think I fired a sentinel. I did get one later on in Korea. But I don't think I fired one in then, really.
Had you fired the Bren before?
Yeah, just in the training.
You said you had to qualify with it. What did that entail?
So many bullets, you know. It's funny, this hard. Some did it and some did it. I don't know how, how you had to hold the rifle, you know. Some could do it and some couldn't. Some was never got through, you know. I mean, they hit the target, but you had to hit the bull. That was your problem.
Was that what it entailed, just target practice?
Yeah. You see, fire so many times an hour or something, and you would go in the pit, you know, put the flag up there, the bull there, side, mist, you know. That was great, I like that, man. I always feel like fighting, man.
You would be issued with your own weapon, were you?
Oh, yes, that was your own personal weapon. You had to keep it clean and you know, the ice and all the water. That stuck in my mind for years.
What did you think of the 303?
Well, it was all right, like, but I always see it was by the time I went to Korea, to me, the 303 was out of date. That's after when we get into that. But I think you really ought to do it. If you, when you read that magazine, you're way behind.
So you'd be issued with the 303, but you had to be competent with the Bren as well.
Oh yeah. You learnt to play from the hip unit. That was good as well, isn't it?
What did you think of the Bren?
I thought it was good.
Was it an easy weapon to fire?
Yes. Once you get used to it, you know, the machine was used to do it. You used to rattle them off.
Any other weapons training that you did in Wavell?
No, not...
You would do bayonet training?
Oh yes, the bayonets. Oh yes, we did bayonet training. We did quite a bit of that, I think. But really, I only fired a revolver. That was like any training in one side of the building, that was it. I never had anything to do with any revolvers.
You wouldn't have been issued with
one? Well, yeah, it was. It just, it happened, I had a shot with it.
What about hand grenades?
Yeah, I used to throw them. But mostly you have to go with the training. Work career. And in career, that's what we, we knew how to go on with them. So there, right? And I went to stand by the use of throw them.
Did you have any training with mortars or any other weapons?
I did a little bit. I did fire a 2-inch mortar. That was the one that was a company. We had a 2-inch mortar in every platoon.
So that was a platoon weapon, a 2-inch?
And I did fire it, on the platoon. But no, I didn't fire a lot.
How were men selected for that then, out of the platoon?
Well, I don't know. They just used to put it on the platoon. That was his.
Because you would have a mortar section, mortar platoon. Yeah. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute or two. Anything else that you can remember in weapons training at Wavell?
No, that was about it. 303 grand.
Did you do any tactical training at Wavell?
Well, just if there was times you would take out, how you used to go around, the officer would do the arms out, advance, things like that. I didn't do much of that because, like I said, I couldn't make quarters. I knew about it, I'd done it.
How long had you been at Wavell before you went into company headquarters?
I think I was only about 2 months or something. And then I went into headquarters. And I was always with them, you see. And it was a
We'll come on to that. Can you remember, was there any other trench warfare? Did they teach you anything like that that you can remember?
No, not then. That was going back when we come back to England before my career. We never had this to do. Just did saddle out when I did that intensive training, that was the only thing. I think we did it once.
Was that back in England?
No, that was in Germany. Is it saddle out? Is that the name? Yes. That was the only time we did that training.
When was that?
Well, I was supposed to come on leave, and that could have been in the.
So you did a couple of months in general at Wavell before you went into the headquarters, Italian, and then you did some other training after that. Where was that? Where's San Lago?
That was we were coming back through the Russian zone. That was another sector. It was a training place, tanks and everything. That was what we call intensive training.
Was this before? Because you did some intensive training in England?
Oh, that was before I went to Korea. That was when I came back to England to do it.
Had you known that you were going to Korea when you did this other intensive training?
I'm not sure whether that was when we got there. I couldn't swear on it. But it could have been. And that's why I had to be down there to do it. And the league was cancelled.
And what did that consist of, that training you got there, that intensive training?
Well, that was, you know, we worked all night. We were in a barracks. We go out and skim in the tanks, learn to attack, withdraw. Same as I did in Battle of Dayman, found the Yorkshire. That was the time when I was in the mess teams and the green. What we had to eat, I didn't know, and the crew was doing it at night.
Was the whole battalion there?
No, it was just our company.
And what were the barracks, what was the camp like there?
That was often on like the railroad.
How many units were there then?
I think there was another unit there, I think it was the tanks was there, because we trained there. It was like being up on the fairs, you know, the train area.
So was this a permanent structure?
Yeah, it was a permanent. Yeah, it was permanent. I think the other companies did go down. After us, you know, they took the turns of
So was it a big camp?
Yeah, it was a fairly big camp, yeah.
And there was your company there?
Yeah, our company.
And who else can you remember?
I'm not sure where the big company went with it. To do the train as well. It went to a company. Can't swear back to it, except nonsense.
But anybody else at the camp at the same time?
Just the tanks, and the way out, and all these corn. MT, you know, the things I got to do there, got to take it out. I'm talking about a month, and we did a solid month. Never out of camp, I was never out. I went up here about twice, I think.
And what would your average day be like there? What were you doing there?
You could be out all night, all day, sleep out in the trenches, and that, you know.
Out in the open?
Yeah, we'd be out in the open, you know. That was the first time I'd ever really done it.
So did they teach you how to make the trenches, how to dig?
No, they were like a permanent site. You know, they had to be already done. I can't remember digging one. One time I remember digging one was in Korea. You know, that was the only time.
So what were you doing here? Was it weapons training? And
yeah, same weapons training.
Same kind of weapons training.
And there was one part where it was live ammunition in front of you. You know, and we were marching, you know, advancing. And we were firing on this, what do you call it again, a speed dialer line or something. You had to get used when they're firing. So I think we must have known that we were in Korea then. And you had to keep going, you know. And they used to stop it, like, I mean, you know, naturally, as you got nearer.
So what did you think of that?
You know, you're always swinging, everybody going to stop shooting, or the leg on a fixed line, you're going to front you, and you're advancing. And then you used to stop, you know, and you're all right, like, you'd be firing fire.
Obviously, you get used to live ammunition firing at you.
That's right, yes.
And you mentioned the tanks.
Well, I guess the day was a nice scheme with them, there was a ride on them, you know, all the hanging on there.
Did you do manoeuvres with the tanks?
Yeah. They would take
attacks?
Positions. Yeah. They would take positions when they're down, you know, or come up behind. Just like in the Second World War, when I've seen pictures of that, isn't it?
So what would you do? Advance behind the tanks?
Yeah, advance, then spread out. And that, you know, that was worth it. Yeah, I tell you, I tell you. There's no shirking. You had to do it.
And you say this must have been quite an intensive month's training.
Yeah, it was. You know, I think we'd rather get back to Berlin, to be honest.
Was there anybody else, apart from the tanks, did you do these attacks with the RAF, for example?
No, I can't remember anything like that. I'm not sure where the B company was doing as well. It was with them. But I can't remember anybody else. Like, but all the RAC units and things like that.
How did you think this training prepared you for what was to come in Korea?
Well, I think it made you think about it then. I think what you're going to do, you know, I mean, Korea would never thought about it, really, you know, and didn't do it.
On reflection, when you were in Korea, was the training realistic? So it was good preparation for what was to come later.
It gave you a good idea, you know. For all in Korea, they didn't do a lot of advancement in the treatment. Still did good, you know. You had an idea that what you're going to get shot at and things like that, you know. So it was good for you. But it was good training. But like I said, we got you back to Berlin and didn't have to.
So that was a month's intensive training, then you came back to Berlin.
Yeah.
And you, of course, you were in the headquarters company.
Yeah, I was still there. I think we Major, you know, Major Donoghue.
You must have been quite close to Major Donoghue. You must have known him quite well.
I was what we call his company, you know, and he went out, you know.
So how did you get on with him?
Oh, great. Major Donoghue.
You obviously quite liked him.
I did.
What kind of a man was he?
He was a bloke, let's see, if he couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, put on it, you know. And he would push you, you know, but, like I say, if he couldn't do it, you couldn't. He was a fit bloke, you know, I'd been a boxer. And it's a shame that killed him.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the structure. There were four companies. You initially were in A company, weren't you? About how many men would there be in each company?
I think it was about 100. I think it was about 100. It was about 30 or so to the platoon. And there was just a few in company headquarters.
Just talking about when you first went there, you were part of A company.
Yeah.
Which platoon would you have been in? Can you remember? Two platoon. And the platoon would be split into sections?
Three sections, yeah.
Three sections to a platoon. So how many men in each section?
There was about 8, I think.
And who would be in charge of the section?
There would be a lance corporal and a corporal. And they had a second lieutenant, you know, who was in charge of the platoon. So I think there was about 6 or 7 of us in the company, you know. Then,
right, just going back, and four companies, they would be more or less infantry companies.
Oh yes, E, B, C, D.
And your headquarters company?
It was a headquarters company, an S company, that was the support company.
And what was the S company, what did that consist of?
That was the brand ones, the mortar, the platoon, the heavy, the machine guns. The mate was the one of them, or Robertson. Because when I did get a career, as well as when I did a company, the machine was probably getting a little trouble. But we had a in S company.
Anything else in S company that you can remember? What about transport?
That was in headquarters.
That was part of headquarters, was it? Now, you said before there were about 7 or 8 of you in headquarters company.
Company headquarters, yeah.
Who would be in charge of that?
Well, the Major. And it's 2 IC, Major Grant.
Major Grant.
And Company Sergeant Major.
Company Sergeant Major.
Yeah. And then, there was the PA clerk, the office clerk, the Major Company Runner.
And you were what was your role?
Yeah, I was Company Runner. And so, I see messages on it, it was a good job.
And so there was only about 8 of you in the headquarters company?
Yeah, company headquarters. Not
company headquarters.
Company headquarters, in your company. Yeah. That was a funny number. I never regret that, I'll tell you. Mind how, where Major Donoghue went, you know, when he was visiting, I'd be with him, so I'd be cool or very ground in that, you know, with him.
How did you find the officers in general?
Well, I dealing with them, they found them very fair to me, and I think they were fair enough. Well, if you don't deal with them, you like everything doing right, everything correct, and, you know, I made you grant with them. He was about to see him. Like I said, the Sergeant Major. here, I didn't speak in Spanish. No, I found them all.
Did you ever come across any bullying?
No, no, that's only I can't see it. I never get bullied, no. I can't remember anything about anybody being bullied. I've never heard anything like that. Never heard about anything like that.
Was there much instruction about the history of the Durham Light Infantry?
Oh yes, it was that. You know, we were the battle comments, what we're doing, the First World War, the Second World War, Afghanistan, and all that, obviously.
So there was like a lot of loyalty to the battalion?
Yeah, there was, oh yes. I mean, it was a good battalion. I'm proud to serve in, to be honest, in that new country. I suppose in the count of to see, but the Germans always had a good reputation, right?